I would move revised 19.
And Jack for discussion.
Representative Holm has discussed for purposes of discussion. Representative Berkowitz?
This amendment is very simple. I just think that people who are performing quasi-judicial functions for the state ought to abstain from active partisan activity, and that's all this amendment would ensure.
Thank you, Representative Berkowitz. I wonder, Representative Berkowitz, for example, if you had a commissioner of the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission who performs a quasi-judicial activity in acting like a judge, would they be then refrained from, say, writing a fundraising letter for a political candidate under this amendment?
No.
Would they be otherwise restrained from doing such a letter, wouldn't you agree, though, under sort of judicial canons or
yes.
ethics?
Yes. I mean, this is sort of a compromise. My optimal would be anyone who's got anything hyphenated judicial in it would be bound by the judicial canons, but that seems a little bit much. But if I'd be willing to go in that direction. I think that when you sit in judgment on people, people should have every expectation that the decisions rendered will be above partisan suspicion.
Now, for the record, Representative Seaton has joined us. We're looking at Amendment 19 offered by Representative Berkowitz. Is there any questions for Representative Berkowitz? When I read it, did seem to strike me as that the canons of judicial ethics would cover this.
People who perform quasi-judicial functions, I won't say they're never, but in my understanding, are not always bound by the judicial canon.
Is this germane, Representative Berkowitz?
If the whole bill is about how to protect the integrity of campaign finance, it's certainly germane.
This would prohibit a... We're joined by Representative Gruenberg. Representative Gruenberg, we're discussing Amendment 19 by Representative Berkowitz. This would prohibit a judge or a commissioner of any commission that hears appeals from contributing to a campaign then?
From actively taking part in management of a political party. And if you feel it would be appropriate to descend to the level of even contributing, that would be, I think that's the direction I would prefer to head in. I offered this as sort of a middle ground.
I see. Representative Lynn?
Does this Section 30 part, is that potential perceived problem of some kind that we might be facing in your judgment?
Yes.
Could you elucidate on that?
It has to do with membership on, well, there's a potential issue with the personnel board, but that's gone away. It has to, because the individual in question chose not to accept the nomination, the problem certainly remains with the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Seaton?
I'm sorry I'm late.
No, that's okay.
Could somebody summarize?
Sure. You didn't get in that late. Representative Berkowitz has simply offered a moved Amendment 19. There's been an objection, and you basically got in on the discussion. It would prohibit anyone in... there is a canon of judicial conduct that prohibits judges or those acting in the role of judges from engaging in activities that tends to... I can't remember the canon, but impugn the integrity of their position, basically, that would lend some air of impartiality to their demeanor, behavior, or decision-making process. I think that's generally, in lay's terms, what it means. This would put in statute.
They should be above the appearance of impropriety, I believe, is it?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
When I was campaigning, in my single campaign here, one of the judges of the area, you know, supported me verbally, but couldn't contribute, couldn't say anything actively, couldn't basically come out publicly. Is that what we're talking about here? I mean, is that the same? That's the same criteria that that judge would have been using to say that they didn't want to, they couldn't become involved in partisan politics?
It's the same theory, but judges are bound by the judicial code of ethics, whereas quasi-judicial officials are not similarly bound.
Well, Representative Berkowitz, I have a problem with this is because of the very broad nature of this, because I also think that those kind of people should be bound by Kansas judicial conduct. And in fact, the example I gave about a commissioner of a agency which got involved in a partisan campaign, ultimately when reported to Superior had to recuse themselves because they should not have been involved. And I think that by putting in statute what we have here in sort of, it may be difficult to find later, I'm going to be opposed to this. Representative Berkowitz, do you have a response?
Well, are you suggesting I modify it so that a person performing a quasi-judicial function is bound by the judicial code of ethics, period?
Well, I guess you're restating the obvious. I mean, that they are.
I do not believe they are. That's part of the problem. They should be, but they're not.
Well, I guess I get real concerned about talking about that in this bill. Where we're dealing with APOC and lobbyists and campaign contributions. Maybe it's the hour that gives me my weak knees on it. That's what I feel. Representative Grunberg?
I'm sorry. It may be the hour, but I'm not hearing as well. What's your problem?
Prohibiting, well, the I think Representative...
It sounded like you were supporting this.
I am. I mean, that's the concern I have, but... partly, I think that persons who do perform quasi-judicial functions should be bound by the canon of judicial conduct. But
absolutely.
So I have no problem with that. I mean, we say that as a policy statement. We say that as a resolution. We say that, I mean, that already it says that in the canons of judicial conduct. Do we need a statute to repeat what the canons say?
Yeah.
Then why not adopt the entire code of judicial conduct?
It's beyond the scope of the bill.
That's what I'm concerned about here.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Grunberg.
I think at least this is a start in the right direction. It would certainly be part of any bill, and this is well within the scope of this bill. And I would offer what I hope we can shut that thing off is a friendly amendment to the amendment, and that is where it says may not take part an active part in the management of a political party, and I would say, or a political campaign. I'm wondering if you would accept that as a friendly amendment. Add the phrase after political party or a political campaign.
Yes.
I would ask unanimous consent on that amendment.
Judge.
Okay. The motion is on...
I'm sorry. It should be after political party above the district level and then add or a political campaign. I'm sorry.
Well, Representative Grunberg, the way I have taken your amendment, on line 8 to 10 of Amendment 19 would read, a person performing a quasi-judicial function may not take an active part in the management of a political party or political campaign.
Yeah.
well, you see it says above the district level.
I understand.
So I think the phrase has to be after above the district level.
We can just delete above the district level.
That's what I said, I thought.
If I could restate the...
Go ahead.
Okay. As I understand it, management of a political party or a political campaign, period. That means we would delete above the district level.
So you don't want to keep, Mr. Chairman, you don't want to keep above the district
no.
level? Oh, okay.
I think it's clean.
I thought that's what I said.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So the there's a motion to amend 19 to read in line 8 to 10, a person performing a quasi-judicial function may not take an active part in the management of a political party or political campaign, period. There's an objection to that. Is there further discussion? Here, Representative Seaton.
Yeah. Can we get the idea of the breadth of these quasi-judicial functions?
I would have to go to the statutes, but there's a number of boards that are designated quasi-judicial in statute.
That would not be, through the chair?
Yeah, Representative Seaton.
That would not be the Board of Fish? Or that would be the Board of Fish?
I don't know if the Board of Fish would be included.
I think that every board that hears some sort of appeal is a quasi-judicial function.
But if the Board of Fish is quasi-judicial, then I would certainly hope that Fish board members are not participating in political campaigns or actively engaged party.
You're talking about almost every board and commission. You're talking about the Board of Nursing, Marine Pilots. You're talking about Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. You're talking about the Workers' Comp Board. You're talking them all.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Grunberg.
People who are the real people on the committee, not the lawyers. In administrative law, administrative agencies generally perform two functions. One is called quasi-legislative, where they adopt regulations and rulemaking. And the other is called quasi-judicial, where they adjudicate disputes. And it may be such things as whether so-and-so is admitted to the bar, or so-and-so is allowed to practice medicine, or gets a limited entry permit, or whatever. And those are, and they may be private disputes in the sense that two people want the same permit, or they may be public disputes in the sense of whether somebody is allowed to become a licensed public accountant. But they're very different, and the question is whether the board is acting in one instance as a little legislature, or in another instance as a judicial tribunal. And that's
we do have BAPOC's attorney on the phone. Actually, I haven't called her. I could call her. She's standing by. Any further discussion on the amendment? The friendly amendment to the amendment. Yes, Representative Seaton.
And so this is, or a political campaign, is that... The active part in the management of a political campaign, I want to make sure that we're not saying that if we have a comma there, so it's active management of a political party, or is the intent to say, or anything in a political campaign?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Grunberg.
As the maker of the amendment to the amendment, the phrase is intended to be after in the management of. So it's in the management of a political party or in the management of a political campaign. It's management.
Could I ask for a friendly amendment to put that wording in there?
Sure.
Because I think otherwise we could get some confusion as to whether one could not even be involved in a campaign at all.
Mr. Chairman, I realize this is an amendment to the second degree, but I would ask that the chair entertain it. So it would be or in the management of a political campaign.
Sure.
Is there objection to the second friendly amendment to the friendly amendment to the amendment? There's no objection to the second friendly amendment to the friendly amendment to the amendment. So there still is an objection to the friendly amendment. And that friendly amendment would amend Amendment 19 to read on lines 8 through 10, quasi-judicial function. A person performing a quasi-judicial function may not take an active part in the management of a political party or in the management of a political campaign. Is there further discussion on the friendly amendment? If not, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Berkowitz?
Yes.
Representative Greenberg?
Yes.
Representative Holm?
No.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom?
No.
Representative Lynn?
No.
Chairman Wyrock?
No.
Fails, 4-3.
Okay, so we have the original language before us of Amendment 19. Is there further discussion on Amendment 19? Not objections been asserted. Take a roll call vote on Amendment 19.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greenberg.
I assume that this is deleting the phrase above the district level.
The amendment of Amendment 19 reads on lines 8 to 10, a person performing a quasi-judicial function may not take an active part in the management of a political party above the district level. So, any further discussion?
Yeah, I do.
Thank you. Representative Greenberg.
When we were discussing the friendly amendment, I was under the impression that above the district level was out.
The amendment failed. The amendment failed, though. That was the amendment.
That was part of the amendment, and that failed.
Okay, that's fine.
There's second, the amendment, we talked about the amendment to the second degree, which was agreed to. Then we talked about the amendment to the first degree, which we voted on. The amendment to the first degree failed. So we're back to the original language posed by Representative Berkowitz, which keeps a person performing a quasi-judicial function may not take an active part in the campaign of, or in the management of a political party above the district level. So that's the original language.
Question.
Representative Seaton.
Yeah, I have a question on this quasi-judicial functions and lobbying. Do quasi-judicial, can a person in a quasi-judicial function be a lobbyist, registered lobbyist? It seems like if we don't want that to be the case, if we add that in here, that ties it into this bill as far as lobbying. And so I'm throwing that out as a question.
The problem I have with that is I have had countless numbers of lobbyists up here who perform quasi-judicial functions for the state of Alaska, pushing their positions on bills affecting their agency. Okay. Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission is a prime example. Now, I would like to prohibit them from being up here because they oppose my bill, but I'm not sure we want to put that in statute.
No, that's why I asked the question instead of opposed the amendment. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? There's an objection. There's a motion and objection. Secretary, please call the roll on Amendment 19.
Amendment 19D1, Representative Greenberg?
Yes.
Representative Holm?
No.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom?
No.
Representative Lynn?
No.
Representative Berkowitz?
Yes.
Chairman Wyrock?
No.
Fail, 4-3.
I would like, Representative Berkowitz, if we could stick on this amendment that and discuss the fact that persons performing quasi-judicial functions should adhere to the canons of judicial conduct as it may apply to them in their position.
Would that be your conceptual?
Yes.
I would accept that.
I think that people who do perform quasi-judicial functions should adhere if those necessarily apply to their position. That implies a case-by-case application of those canons to their position as a judicial officer, and I agree with you that people should have trust in the integrity of the process, and that if there is evidence or that somehow activity in a political campaign would impugn the integrity of the judicial-making process or any way sway their ability to be impartial as a decision-maker, we don't want them on a case.
I would accept that. I mean, the amendment is, I guess,
I would say as a conceptual amendment that person it would read, persons performing quasi-judicial functions must adhere to the canons of judicial conduct as it may apply to their position as a quasi-judicial officer of the state. Is there an objection to that amendment?
I will object for the purpose of
the
question.
Thank you.
Would that include prohibiting them from managing a political candidate?
I'm not sure.
Because may I have the judicial canon is canon number 5, I believe, and it specifically says that they may not engage in any partisan political activity, shall refrain from inappropriate political activity. And I can't see, I mean, I would be prepared to support that if it included a prohibition against managing political candidates.
See, I don't know. I think that necessarily whether someone has violated the canons of judicial conduct is a matter of fact and law. And it's a case-by-case analysis that I would be reluctant to apply in a blanket position like that. I don't know. Representative Seaton and then Representative Greenberg.
Yeah, I have a question if APOC is the appropriate person to administer canons of judicial conduct. And,
you know,
I mean, I think that this is outside the realm of the bill that we're doing, and I think
I said that initially, and I'm concerned about it. I just am very concerned about that. I don't want a judge impartially deciding my case because of politics, but so I'm torn. But your sentiment in that statement. Yes, Representative Greenberg.
I've talked to Marla Greenstein about this, and she is the executive director of the Commission on Judicial Conduct. And she is not anxious to be involved in determining violations of the canons for quasi-judicial officers or hearing officers. And that was why, and I support that in concept, what you're saying, but we're going to have an enforcement mechanism and that sort of a thing. And that is why I like the way Representative Berkowitz's original amendment read, because it was very specific and self-informed. I mean, it'd be fairly easy for APOC to simply say, well, you can't be involved in the management of a political party, and I would say, or the management of a political campaign.
Well,
that doesn't require interpretation of this body of law. I think if you go down that slippery slope, it's going to lead us beyond this bill, and that's why
I'm going to do is I'm going to withdraw my conceptual amendment. I'm going to talk to the Judiciary Chair and tell them about this conversation when they have Brooke Miles in front of them to talk about whether it's appropriate to put in this or not, because I really strongly believe that.
If you do, then I would ask that we revisit the amendment itself and put the amendment in and let Judiciary take it out if they disagree.
That's correct. I think that's fine, and I will do that. So Amendment 19, and this is for the record 19A, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Amendment 19A has failed. We're to Amendment 1920 by Representative Gruenberg.
I was going to ask if you agreed. I would ask that we rescind our action in failing to adopt Amendment 19 so we could put this in and send it to Judiciary.
No, what I was going to do is talk to the Judiciary Chair about adding this in to the Judiciary version once we talk, once we have them on the stand.
Okay.
Representative Grunberg, you've introduced Amendment Number 20.
I see another amendment.
There's an Amendment 19 by APOC. Please remove that. We're not going to deal with that today. They don't want that. The next one we have is Amendment 20.
Did we?
And there was another number 19, which is withdrawn. The only amendment that had a 19 on it was 19-A, Representative Berkowitz. And now we're on your Amendment 20.
Okay. I would move amendment number 20, and I think we probably want to conform this. Oh, this is moot?
This is moot. We've already dealt with this issue.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
This is one of those bidding amendments. Amendment 20. Amendment 22.
I have an amendment 23 now.
I'm looking for amendment 22.
21.
I don't have any of those.
21 is new.
21 by APOC.
22 is also APOC.
Just so the committee said, we had amendment 20, that was moved. Right behind amendment 20, staple to it, is amendment 21 by APOC. That is now moot after we dealt with Representative Dahlstrom's amendment. We are now on Amendment 22 by APOC.
Section 1 has been withdrawn, Mr. Chair, is that correct?
Representative Berkowitz, could you repeat? I didn't.
I'm just looking at what Amendment 22 does. Under Section 39, there is no longer a Section 1.
Correct.
We withdrew it. Section 32 is.
This may be a conforming amendment that may or may not be necessary. I'm going to send this to legal.
Tammy is.
I beg your pardon? We have Tammy Kempton in the audience. She indicated that 22 is moot, and so we're not going to consider 22. We have Amendment 23 by Representative Berkowitz.
I won't be offering it this time.
It will not be offered. We have Amendment 23 by Representative Berkowitz. Amendment 24 by Representative Roachberg is not going to be offered. Any further amendments to come before the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Grunberg.
We had my amendment number 6.
There you go. And we were going to talk to Jan Hart DeYoung. Is that correct?
You have that suggested. But I have.
If the committee could turn to...
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Grunberg,
Amendment number 6 is simply, I'm only offering part of it, and it's to delete section 13 of the bill.
Okay, let's find it. We have here Representative Grunberg, Amendment Number 6. In the upper right-hand corner, it says 23-LS8005/8.19 Craver 4/3003. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is there the committee all with us? Same page?
23-LS8, right?
I beg your pardon?
23-LS8005.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Representative Lynn. Representative Grunberg, can you move Amendment Number 6?
Yeah, the only part I'm moving on Amendment Number 6 is the portion on page 1 between lines 3 and 7, which is to delete section 13 of the bill.
Okay.
3 and including 7? Line 7?
Yeah, because you have to renumber the other bill sections.
So, Representative Grunberg, would you move Amendment Number 6 as amended?
The Number 6 as amended.
Representative Seaton?
Object.
Yes. There's also objected. Thank you. So we're only talking about right now where it says section 13 And then page, and then line 4, page 7, line 21 through page 8, line 1, delete all material. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we'll delete the rest.
And Mr. Chairman.
And then renumber bill accordingly.
Yeah, we have already, in amendment number 7, deleted AS 15.13.074G, which is section 15 of the bill. And all this does is I'm sorry.
We've added the language back in.
We've added this language back in. So we
Justin, you want to take the stand?
I apologize.
That's okay. I understand how it goes. If you could identify yourself for the record, please.
Justin Roberts, staff to Representative Groombus.
Thank you. If you could discuss the amendment number 6 as amended by Representative Groombus.
Sure. It's just conforming. We added the language back in section 15, which is subsection G, all that may not make a contribution. And so all section 13 does is takes out subsection G on the top of page 8.
Which means we leave it in.
So Representative Grunberg's amendment would add subsection G back in. So if you're a candidate who's filed with the commission, you can't solicit a contribution from someone who's registered as a lobbyist if the contribution violates subsection G, is what the amendment would say.
We've left the line, Mr. Chairman, we've left subsection G in. Therefore, we need to delete the section of the bill that would delete section G. It's just a conforming amendment.
The reason I'm confused, thank you, Representative Groombus, and Justin, the reason I'm confused is it says section 13, AS 15.13.072A is amended to read. When you're talking about deleting section G.
It's amending subsection A. The only substantive part of that, though, is on the top of page 8. It's the little bracketed part.
Page 8, the very top. 1, which has refers to G.
Yeah, which is just taking out the AS 15.13.074G or. That's all that subsection 13
does. So the language will remain in as it is, because G remains in.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those you have to look at the other way.
Yeah, it's a reverse.
Get rid of the bracket.
Okay.
Is there, let's see, Representative Dahlstrom, you objected. If I were you, I couldn't withdraw my objection, but I think I understand what's going on. No, I understand. Representative Seaton, do you have a question?
I'm just wanting to clarify for my own thinking is, so we are removing all the material here, but all this material is in the original bill.
No.
So
Representative Groombus,
the bracket portion?
May I explain?
Representative Groombus.
Okay, look. What we're dealing with here is the section 13 of the bill. Section 13 is on pages 7 and 8. And all section 13 did is, up at the top of page 8, that little bracket. And since we were deleting the relevant part of subsection G, the mention of subsection G was going to be deleted up here on line 1.
We did.
Since we're leaving the capitalized language in subsection G, we should leave it up at the top of page 1, too.
The thing that's got me confused, and I'm sorry, is you're deleting, though, page 7, line 21, all the way through page 8, line 1.
Yeah, because...
Chair, can I make offer a friendly amendment?
Certainly.
I would move that we delete section 13.
Yeah, that's what it does.
That's not what... This is a different way of saying it. If you delete section 13, then the changes that would purportedly be implemented by section 13 aren't implemented, which would they'd be unnecessary anyway because the deletion that's part of section 13 has been deleted, therefore it's redundantly subtractive.
There you go. Great. That's what I thought.
Very good.
We're left with our old sentence.
And playing me in the skits next year will be Jesse Keel.
I'm glad that TV isn't on.
Section 13 is deleted under Amendment Number 6.
I ask unanimous consent.
There's an objection.
I withdraw my objection.
Thank you.
So Amendment 6 is adopted, which deletes Section 13.
I would have to go borrow you. We withdrew the original Amendment 6. So do we need to call this 6A? We withdrew 6. Oh, no, we didn't.
No, we had 6 on the table.
We're all right.
And we're okay on 6. So just for... Thanks to the committee's indulgence. We adopted Amendment 6 as amended, which only deleted Section 13 of the work draft bill. Okay. The rest of Amendment 6 was not offered by Representative Groomberg. That was 2 pages of amendments that were not offered. Okay. Is there any further amendments? Are there any further amendments to come before the committee? Representative?
Since we heard this bill this morning, even longer ago than that, a bill came over from the unnamed other body, sort of like Voldemort, and that's the lobbyist bill. And the lobbyist bill has not received any substantive referrals. It went directly to the Rules Committee. And as a result, I think it's important that at least one substantive committee look at these issues. And I would like, therefore, to bring back up for the committee's consideration the amendments that were labeled number 14. I think those all were the lobbyist amendments. Justin is not right, it's amendment 14. So there were 2 amendment 14.
Mr. Chair,
before
we get into that one, that whole other kettle of fish, could I get you the committee's indulgence? I apologize, just to give Representative Groomberg a time to catch up. If I could bring everyone's attention back to that 105-day, 10-day discussion rule, we sort of hit upon an appropriate compromise, which is being passed out now, so that people have to report expenditures greater than $250, just as they would contributions greater than $250 within the last week. And that's what this amendment number 9 does.
This document you just handed out.
Yes.
You called it amendment number 9.
We're going to have to call it 9A, I think.
Or 9A.
Okay, let's just bring this before the committee as opposed to going back to anything. Let's call Amendment 9A by Representative Berkowitz. And Representative Berkowitz, if you could move 9A.
I move 9A.
Representative Holm, if you could object.
I object.
Representative Berkowitz, if you could speak to your amendment.
Can I do it with flair? Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, sir.
You're welcome.
It's really good and benign, so... The contribution, you know, we have to report contributions within the last week, over $250, and what the other section of the bill does is remove the final report and set it from 10 days after a campaign ends to 105 days after a campaign ends. One of the concerns that I have is you don't know if a campaign is flooding the airwaves or what it's doing with its money, and I think in the interest of disclosure, just as we want to know who's putting money into a campaign, it's important to know what kind of money is going out as well, and especially since we're lifting the 10-day report at the end. And that's all this does is just make sure that expenditures as well as contributions are covered in the final, I think it's week, when the 24-hour rule kicks in campaigns, whatever that is.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, through the chair. Just a question for the sponsor of this amendment. Is your thought that both of these would be included in the same report? wouldn't be two separate reports?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Seaton.
Why, to the sponsor...
You can call me Ethan.
Yeah. Why is it important to know expenditures?
Representative Berkowitz.
For the same, for similar reasons why you want to know who's making contributions, it's part of just making sure the campaigns are transparent. I mean, we lose that transparency by eliminating the 10-day final report, and just the transparency is very important.
Yeah, a follow-up comment. We want to know contributions because we want to know who influences a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I think that trying to figure out the expenditures of a campaign is to try and find out a opponent's strategy in their campaign, and I do not think that that is the appropriate purpose of APOC. I think APOC is to determine so that we have the transparency of influence upon a candidate, but not to try to let opponents figure out a campaign strategy. And so I'm going to oppose that section of this for that reason.
And that's a legitimate point. I think that transparency is important. I would note that nobody around this table has had an opponent in recent memory who's guessed their strategy and bested it, so.
What?
You're here. That's,
yeah.
What are you saying? thank you, Representative Berkowitz. Further discussion on the Amendment 9A.
Just one point.
I'm sorry, Representative Holm.
It's all right. To go along with what Representative Seaton said, the other part of that equation is that, as you well know, all of us who have campaigns, have done campaigns, you buy your time way up front. And every time you do all those things, everybody can just look right into all the different media places and see exactly where all the money's been spent. And almost without exception, most of us don't carry anything down to the end and then dump it all in. So they buy time much far in advance. And I think Paul is right when he says it's a strategy factor. And you really kind of, you don't want to, it doesn't mean that anybody's exerting one whit of political advantage over you or even trying to do anything for you other than you've got somebody that's helping you with buying the time. It's not any manipulation by some lobbyist or somebody to help you.
Well,
Representative Berkowitz,
my last campaign, my opponent was able to secure radio time within the last week that had been that was not available to me prior to that point, and had if I hadn't had people listening to the radio station and calling in and saying, "Hey, how did this happen?" we wouldn't have known. And as it was, we were barely able to get the equal time that is required. So,
Representative Lynn, and then Representative...
Well, to expand upon Representative Seaton's point, again, there needs to be transparency of how somebody is trying to influence a candidate with a campaign contribution. But I don't think it's anybody's business how I spend my own campaign money to influence my own campaign.
Representative Seaton.
Yeah, there seems to be two different sections in this bill. One is the upper part, which is expenditure by
the amendment.
Yeah, of the amendment. Excuse me, 9A. The underlying sections, expenditures, and then the other expenditures are by non-group entities for the purpose of influencing a campaign. So, I can understand that it is good to know if it's not the campaign making expenditures. That I can agree with, because that is something that is a legitimate interest of the voters to be able to know. So I would like to offer an amendment to strike the first two on line four, the word "or expenditure," and on line six, "or expenditure."
What about or payee?
Well, maybe we can get to that in a minute. I wanted to see if we can clear this part up first.
I would take that as a friendly.
Is there objection?
I object.
Okay, Representative Holm. Is there discussion? Okay. No further discussion, then the motion is to strike or expenditure from line 4 and or expenditure from line 6 of Amendment 9A. And Laura, if you could call the roll.
Representative Grunberg?
I wonder if I can pass. Am I allowed to do that? The vote at the end?
Representative Holm?
No.
Representative Seaton?
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom?
No.
Representative Lynn?
Yes, to strike.
Representative Berkowitz?
Yes.
Representative Grunberg?
No.
Chairman Weirock?
No.
Fails 4-3.
So the motion is still the main motion before us, or expenditure stays in the amendment. Is there further discussion on 9A, Amendment 9A? Representative Seaton.
Yes. I would like to strike on line 6, contributor, or, and, yes, I think you're not. And on line, that's where I'd like to strike it, contributor or, and I'd like.
So amendment, your friendly amendment is to, it would read on line 5-6, within 9 days of the election shall be reported to the commission by date, amount, or payee. No, and payee within 24 hours. Is that correct?
No, wait a minute.
Oh, that would do.
You want to strike contributor or on line 6?
I withdraw it.
Okay. Any further discussion on Amendment 9A? Okay. Everybody ready? Okay. Amendment 9A is before us. There's an objection. Laura, if you could call the roll.
Representative Holm?
No.
Oh, you're going to make two no's?
No. Representative Berkowitz?
Yes.
Representative Grunberg?
Yes.
Chairman Weirock?
No.
Fail 4-3.
All right. Further amendments before the committee?
Yes.
Representative Grunberg.
Okay, back to where we were minutes ago. The lobbying provisions in this bill are contained generally in section 27.
What amendment?
And there are a series of amendments that are before us on this subject. Amendment 14, 14A, 15, 15A, and 16. First, I'm going to offer is, and for the reasons I say, I think it's important that we take these up here. Ed, just maybe we have a brief at ease, a couple minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Be at ease.
I'm going to offer amendment number 14. And what that does, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Grunberg has moved amendment 14. Is there objection? Okay, is there objection? Representative Grunberg.
What that's going to do, Mr. Chairman, is put the current APOC regulation into statute.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, just a question. Representative Grunberg, you mentioned we were bringing this up because another bill had failed somewhere today. Did I misunderstand?
May I respond?
Yes, Representative Grunberg.
What we said this morning, we were we struck Section 27 from the bill. And the reason we struck it was so that another committee could deal with it. Then we went on the floor, and if I have a little leeway, Mr. Chairman, to deal with what's going on. The lobbying bill came over from the Senate. And on the sheet that said introduction of bills, it was referred to judiciary, where it should have gone. Speaker changed that and put it in rules directly. So it really won't have the proper kind of hearing we were expecting. And that's why I think it is important that we take some positions in this committee.
Representative Grunberg, we have an at ease. Please, go off record. On record now. Representative Grunberg, you had the floor. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay. I'm going to start by putting Humpty Dumpty back together again and where we were this morning. I'm going to move we rescind our action in adopting Amendment 14. And then what that does is put Section 27 back in the bill, and then we can take the substantive amendments from there. So I will move that we rescind our action in adopting Amendment 14.
I think that's appropriate. Is there an objection? There's a motion to rescind our action, striking Section 27 from the...
No, we have a motion.
We have a motion for Amendment 14.
Would you... let me start. I withdraw what I termed Amendment 14 and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Larry. Okay. See no objection. Amendment 14 was withdrawn.
Now,
Representative Grunberg, you have moved to rescind our action earlier today, which struck Section 27 from the work draft in front of us. Is there objection? Hearing no objection, Section 27 is back in this bill. We rescinded our action, striking it from the bill. All right. Now, okay. Amendment 14 does have to be renumbered.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bloomberg.
This, and I would ask Jenny, this thing that you have in front of you that says Amendment 14, how should we term that?
14.1.
14.1. Okay. It is Amendment 14.1, and I offer Amendment 14.1, which...
Okay, let's... there's a motion to an amendment to move 14.1. Is there objection? Representative Seaton objected. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. And what this does is put the current regulation into statute. And as you can see at the top of page 2, this allows not more than 4 hours in any 30-day period in one calendar year. If you go above that, then you must register as a lobbyist.
Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Seaton.
Yes, I maintain my objection. I think that the current 4 hours is too short a time to be reasonable. I think that the proposed APOC language of 16 hours is a reasonable amount of time, and so I would support us leaving the language in the bill.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. Any further discussion? Representative Grunberg.
Yes. If we're talking about 16 hours, that is a tremendous amount of time because we're talking about face-to-face non-testimonial lobbying with either a legislator or staff within one 30-day period. And you may, I mean, I would certainly be open to negotiations. I'm not stuck on four, but 16 is a lot of time.
We have actually here with us today is
tonight getting ready.
Is Tammy Kempton with APOC and Alaska Public Offices Commission. And Ms. Kempton, if you could identify yourself for the record, and I'd like to get at least some feedback from you on Representative Grunberg's observations. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Tammy Kempton. I'm the regulator of lobbyists for the Alaska Public Offices Commission. In terms of testimony in front of committees, that's been an on-again, off-again thing since 1976. If you read the statute, it says a person who is not paid and confines their testimony to and confines their lobbying activities to testimony before public committees is exempt from the lobbying law. Therefore, someone who is paid to sit here and talk to a committee, that's part of the lobbying, and it counts towards the 4 hours or the 16 hours or the however many hours it is. Now, years ago, an AG informally said, gee, that and should be read as an or. In the last year, we did a lot of research on it, and they have now agreed with us, but not in a formal opinion, although one has been requested, that yes, in fact, because it is conjunctive and not disjunctive or, and because the House Judiciary that heard it in 1976 plainly said that they wanted it to be an or. Well, it went to the Senate. The Senate changed it to and. The Free Conference Committee accepted the and. So the AGs say, yeah, it's conjunctive.
Thank you, Ms. Kempton. Any comment? Representative Lynn.
I'm amazed. Am I understanding correctly? My nose is stopped up. Excuse me. Am I to understand that a paid lobbyist who comes in and testifies before us is currently limited to 4 hours? Am I in error?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, the 4 hours only applies to an employee who is being paid by his or her employer to come down here. And they can talk to you without becoming subject to the lobbying law for 4 hours, currently, for 4 hours in a 30-day period. If they go over the 4 hours, they can certainly continue to talk to you or testify, but they do need to register with us.
Yeah, Representative Berkowitz. I'm sorry, yeah, Apollo.
It seems to me that somebody comes in to testify, paid, unpaid, employee, registered. It seems to me that's the prerogative of the chair, how long he sit in a hot seat and testify on these things, because basically no one sits in that chair unless they're invited to do so by the chair. So why do I have to register if I'm invited by the chair to sit in that chair? It just and furthermore, all this 4 hour, 16 hours, are we to buy stopwatches for my staff in the office? If somebody comes to the door and we go click? I mean, this gets, to me, absurd.
Ms. Kempton?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, what we're discussing here is a regulation that has been in place since 1978 and appeared to be working fine until this year when this was brought up as a problem. But this is really the first time it has been brought up as a significant problem. And in fact, our commissioners thought it was a problem before it came before the legislature, and they were already discussing changing it to 16 hours. But in terms of having an hour limit, because of the way the statute's written, you know, currently an employee is allowed a certain amount of time before they need to register. It's up to the legislature to decide, of course, how much and whether it's by time, by expenditures. Another committee looked at the possibility of a certain amount of expenditure. Frankly, the law from 1949 until 1976 said if you were an employee and you were being paid to talk to the lobby, to the legislature, you had to lobby, or excuse me, you had to register on day one. You were not allowed to talk until you registered.
Just one last thing. You said a problem. Did something actually come up that caused a problem, or did the APOC and so on just get together and decide there must be a problem and so we change it? Or did some, quote, lobbyist cause a problem by being here too long or too short or violating some... I mean, were there a series of problems that prompted this?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, we got a new commissioner appointed, Larry Wood, who's the deputy chief counsel for Alyeska. In that position, he used to be an employee lobbyist, and he used to have to register, and he would come lobby the legislature. So he was already aware of the 4 hours and thought that it was too short. He was appointed this summer. And then this fall, there was a lawsuit filed on this same subject that said that 4 hours was too short.
And how do we measure the 4 hours? I mean, literally, do we, 3 hours, 59 minutes, 4 hours, 1 minute? I mean, how do we keep track? I don't keep track of how long a lobbyist is in my office. I don't have a clue. Some of them seem they're there forever, for eternity, and some aren't.
Thank you, Representative Lynn.
Thank you.
Representative Berkowitz?
Just a couple things I want to clarify. All the time you spent sitting over here, had you been a lobbyist, that would not have counted against your 4 hours, would it?
Tammy?
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, no, that does not count. It's only direct communication.
So it's only when you're sitting there speaking with us that counts. If you're waiting in the hall, that doesn't count.
Through the chair, no, that does not count.
Okay.
Unless when you're in the hall, you're talking to a legislator about legislative action.
Would that include staff, too?
Yes.
And it also includes administrative officials, if you want?
It includes public officials, yes, and the statutes actually define who those are.
Okay.
And
Representative Berkowitz?
Before this lawsuit and before an individual who had to register, had you had any indication that 4 hours was inadequate?
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, last year we actually had an official complaint filed against a person, and that's not against somebody for lobbying who wasn't registered, and that's something that almost never happens. We get inquiries, but we don't get actual official complaints. And even the person who was being investigated did not say, but 4 hours isn't enough. He never brought that up as a defense or a mitigator.
That was related to House Bill 519?
Through the chair, no. I mean, it's a matter of public record who it was. It was Frank Pruitt, who was lobbying for Cornell for the Whittier Private Prison.
Thank you, Ms. Kempton. Any further questions, Ms. Kempton? Any further comments on Amendment 14.1?
I'm sorry.
Representative Berkowitz.
14.1. I just peered over Representative Dahlstrom's shoulder. Never mind.
14.1 would retain it at 4 hours instead of the
16.
The 16, which we reinstated, just for clarification.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. Any further discussion on Amendment 14.1? If not, there's a motion on 14.1 and an objection. Representative Grunberg, you want to maintain the amendment? Yeah, okay. Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Dahlstrom?
No.
Representative Lynn?
No.
Representative Berkowitz?
Yes.
Representative Grunberg?
Yes.
Representative Holm?
No.
Representative Seaton?
No.
Chairman Weinroth?
No.
Failed 5-2.
Thank you. We're Representative Grunberg.
At this time, I would like to offer amendment number 15A, excuse me.
Amendment 15A, that, the cover page of that is 14A, put these stapled together, then behind that is, it looks like this, amendment, there's 14A, then 15, and Representative Grunberg is offering 15A.
It would change 16 hours to 8 hours.
Objection.
Okay, so...
Make an offer a friendly amendment.
Sure.
Because
let me just make sure, Lori, she's been very good. We have moved, there's been a, Representative Grunberg moved Amendment 15A. There's been an objection. Amendment 15A deals only with Section 27. It would delete the number 16 and insert the number 8 for the record. And Representative Berkowitz, you have Representative Holm objected.
You know, it seems I've heard this debate go round and round, and I understand the difficulties in assessing hours. I think if we had a clearer time period, that might resolve some of the problems. Is that a fair assumption?
Clearer time period.
I mean, if we said, for example, for any period during a single calendar day, I mean, if, in essence, if someone was acting. Doing all this activity for more than a single, for any period and more than a single calendar day, would that resolve some of the issues?
Representative Seaton?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't, because what we're talking about is people coming down with their as part of their company or whatever to come down and talk about legislation. So if we had if we substitute a single calendar day, it would mean you'd come to Juneau and you could only be here one day, otherwise you'd have to be registered as a lobbyist. And I don't, and that's not my intention at all. I mean, oftentimes these are complicated things that you have to follow through a couple committees, so someone's going to come down and spend a week here, but the actual amount of time, if you're here for a week, that you're actually going to be in contacting legislators or staff is, you know, probably not going to be... 16, it's very difficult to do, but so is 10, or so is any amount of time. So,
Representative Lynn?
Perhaps we should establish a new government department that follows people around with a stopwatch and makes periodic reports. I may make that as a friendly amendment at some point.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Any further, you know, Representative Berkowitz, the time per calendar day, I can see, you know, trying to get at something that's elegant. I'm not sure we can. It's almost one of those bid processes again. You know, it just struck me the way this is. I don't know what's ultimately the right time. It just seemed to me I've done this before as a lobbyist, and it is tough to keep track. And people, it's very tough to do 4 hours, and it's, you know, you're not keeping, even though I try and keep track of every minute of my job. It ain't easy, and I know a lot of people that come down really want more than this, and I just think also the public though needs to know who is down here doing this, and this team seemed to me to be what's in the statute now is 16 seemed to be sort of again that it viscerally I don't really have a great analytic basis for it. It just struck me as it's probably okay.
Just, I mean, 16 hours is 64 15-minute meetings with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of face time.
And sometimes it takes, you know, I'm pretty dense. Sometimes it takes more than one meeting with me a lot of times. And if a person comes down here on their own dime to deal with something that there's interest to them or their company, I think we want to give them at least that leeway and in a period of time. And Tammy, do you have any comment? Why don't you come up?
If someone comes...
Ms. Kempton?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I go through the whole thing again?
No, I just have to identify you for the record.
Okay. If someone's here on their own dime, then they don't have to register. If someone is a sole proprietor, it's not an incorporation, but just owns their own business, and like a mom and pop, they don't have to register. What we're talking about in this bill with the part-time or full-time employee, we're talking about someone who is an employee of a corporation or an association or a union and is being paid by that corporation, by that association, by that union to be there.
Representative Hall,
Do you make any distinctions between S-corps and full corporation?
Through the chair, Representative Holm, no, we don't, because the law doesn't.
On that point?
Yes, it does. It's quite a bit different than a full corp. It doesn't in some areas, but it does in many areas.
Representative Berkowitz?
How many small businesses have signed up as lobbyists?
Through the chair, we have 112 employee lobbyists, and this morning you were handed or given two reports. That I believe there was 110 last year and 112 this year. But if you look at that list, there's maybe two or three small businesses on it.
Okay, so there's two or three, let's say three, we'll take the high number, small businesses. This is not a huge problem. This is not a huge problem. Why the great consternation? But perhaps someone who's promoting the change can point it out to me.
You know, Representative Berkowitz, I don't know. I do hear it as a big problem. I mean, the people that are asking for this change are asking for a lot more than 16 hours. And the people with the small chambers of commerce and little communities and small businesses are coming down here. They do say it's a problem. So you say it isn't? They say it is.
I've been here 7 years. Nobody has ever, ever complained of bad access.
Now they are to me.
Well, the ones I'm hearing, I mean, it's late, I'm tired, and I'll be too candid. Is driven by the state chamber, and it's driven primarily by members from one company that has in the past given me support. And it just seems to me, if you want to crack open the lobbying rules, let's be honest about it and put all the cards on the table. That's what's driving this debate. And the fact that the state chamber is down here and that the board of the state chamber is dominated by members of the single company and the state chamber has heavy influence on the smaller chambers, I mean, let's confront this issue as it exists and lay it on the table. But to say that the 4 hours or the 8 hours, the 40 hours, the 80 hours is the issue, we can't get to solving the problem until people honestly and accurately describe what the problem is, and I haven't had that.
Representative Lynn.
This may be way out, but there have been some lobbies down here representing a church, a church association. Are we telling a church representative how much they can express their essentially religious viewpoint to the committee? And, is that a potential problem?
I don't know.
Well, you know, first of all, they have to be paid.
Yeah. Well, they are.
Right. And if they're a lobbyist, they're probably one of the registered lobbyists because that's their job and they're getting paid to do that. They're not an employee of the church. Now, if the pastor comes down here or the minister or the priest or the whoever comes down here as a paid person and comes in, the question is, at what point is 4 hours used up and all of a sudden they are in there? The clergy bill. I mean, people could have been involved for more than 4 hours. in the 30-day period. Yeah, I don't think they would have been involved in more than 16 hours. I mean, 16 hours is a lot of individual face time, but I don't think that we want to be on that cusp edge. I don't think that there's any need to be. I don't think that the 16 hours is going to give a problem. And it takes that person to keep track of their own time. And that's
all. I agree. 16 is halfway reasonable.
Representative Grunberg?
Yeah, I can see that this amendment won't pass. I'm going to withdraw the amendment.
Representative Berkowitz?
Well, I mean, I've seen that the 16 is somewhat critical. Let me try the two calendar days, during parts of two calendar days.
What is your discussion, Chairman?
I'm getting a negative shake here, but you know, someone tell me what the problem is. You know, these folks that are complaining to majority members certainly aren't complaining to minority members. Maybe it's because we're not getting lobbied enough. Maybe they know that they can't lobby us and we're impervious to their pleas, but which is something I recommend to everybody. It saves y'all a lot of time during the day, but I don't know what the beef is. Where's the beef here? What are we fixing? And it's just until someone can adequately answer that, I see strong protections that exist in the 4 hours. If someone could explain precisely the problem, you know, an instance where someone got tripped up by the 4 hour rule, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to fix the problem. But to just say four is not enough, and then these ridiculous things that we're cracking it open to 80 and 40, which is what some of the proposals have been, I don't know what I'm trying to fix with those kind of numbers.
Representative Grunberg?
Maybe I spoke too soon about withdrawing the amendment. I do have a question before I withdraw it. Are you going to have difficulty? Is 16 hours too large for you to enforce? Is there an enforcement problem if we are at 16 or above? Do you need to go below it for some enforcement reason?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, we've always had 4 hours. Frankly, 4 hours is not always easy to enforce. I have a feeling 16 probably isn't going to be any easier or any harder. Currently, the way we do it, if we get an inquiry, the first thing we do is call the person whose activities are being inquired into.
I don't need you to go. I just needed an answer to that.
Well, let me, if I could then. Of these 112 that are listed here, if we bounce it up to 16 hours, how large will this list be?
Ms. Kempton?
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, at least half of them would still be there and probably more.
And has anyone gotten into trouble? How many times have people gotten into trouble for breaking the four-hour rule?
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, this is just my second session. Mm-hmm. So in the last two sessions, in terms of someone being fined for a late registration because of the four-hour rule, not for other reasons, two people.
And the one instance was Mr. Pruitt that you mentioned. What was the other?
Through the chair, Bill Allen of VECO.
Thank you. Any further questions, Ms. Kempton? Thank you for coming tonight. Representative Seaton.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that in Representative Berkowitz's vein, there's a perceived problem. And so if it's not going to make a lot of change, then we can solve the perceived problem with 16 hours without going to 40 hours. And I think that 16 hours gives adequate leeway for business folks to come down here and not worry about that 4 hours time limit that you could easily exceed if you were down here for 4 or 5 days working, but you're not going to exceed 16 hours. And if you were down here for 3 weeks at a time, you're going to have to register as a lobbyist because you're going to exceed 16 hours. And so to me, it's kind of common sense that if we increase this enough so that we take care of the perceived problems and take away the stress of the people that are in this category as being employees of a company that come down here, we take that problem off the table without getting into 40 or 80 hours in 30 days, which, you know, I think is really getting us to the full-time lobbyist position. So that's why I support the
second. Really, just in response.
Berkowitz and Representative Grunberg.
Those folks might have a perceived problem, but there's a perception problem about the legislature. And the perception problem is that lobbyists buy and sell legislators, that lobbyists do what they feel necessary to get their legislation through. And that perception problem with the general public is more compelling to me than a problem with, I think, a number of people who are highly educated about the political process, educated enough and affluent enough to come here and take part in it. The only two individuals who've run afoul of this rule are both big boys. They're real big boys, and they ought to be able to take it on the chin and move on. Little guys are not impacted by this. It's serving and it's working effectively. I mean, I've been around here. I know that the instance where Mr. Pruitt has been here on a regular basis. I like him. He's a good guy, but he crossed the line. Bill Allen has supported me in the past. I agree with him on some issues. I disagree with him on some issues. He was down here day in and day out banging for a single piece of legislation, and he would have run afoul of the 16-hour rule. So that wouldn't have helped him either. He just didn't do his paperwork, and these things happen. But we've got a perception problem, and retreating from the four-hour limitation compounds the perception problem. And I'm happy to go to any Chamber of Commerce and talk to anybody, because if I initiate a conversation with someone, that doesn't count as lobbying time. It doesn't. It's only when the individual initiates the contact that it counts as lobbying time. It doesn't count when the legislators start it.
I will persist with the amendment.
Yes,
let's
sure.
Let's take a vote.
Why not?
Leon,
okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Lori, ready for the vote?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Representative Bellstrom.
Excuse me. Did we go to 8 hours or 16 hours?
No, we're on 15A. My motion is to take it down to 8. That's correct. His 15A is delete 16 and insert 8. In section 27, line 17, page 9. Ready for the question?
Yes.
Yes, we are ready for the question. Laura, if you could call the roll.
Representative Lynn?
No.
Representative Berkowitz?
Yes.
Representative Grunberg?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
No.
Representative Seaton?
No.
Representative Dahlstrom?
No.
Chair Weirach?
No.
I'm going to offer, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Grunberg.
It's a technical amendment here. And you don't have it in your packet, but it looks to me that if the members would look at page 19, lines 17 and 18.
Of the bill?
Yeah, of the bill itself. It says, means more than 16 hours in a 30-day period in direct communication with a public official or legislative employee. That could be read as a single person, and I would like to make it plural. So it would read, in direct communication with public officials or legislative employees.
Perhaps we could fix employees so it has
the
requisite number of E's. And I personally want to go on record as supporting the letter E, because I like it a lot, but
okay.
You don't want to have E abuse.
We have before us an amendment to the work draft of the bill in section 27, page 19, line 17, 18.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to make one other change in that. It should be with public official, Oh, that's all right, just public officials or legislative employees.
It would read on line 17, 18, more than 16 hours in a 30-day period in direct communication with public officials or legislative employees. And is there any objection to that?
Objection.
Okay, Representative Lynn has objected. And is there any discussion? Representative Lynn?
Well, if you make the, if you make public employees plural and legislative employees plural, now how are you going to split that up among the people? If you, 16 hours to one public official, 16 hours to one legislative employee, that's fairly easy to figure out. But 16 hours to public officials, it just defies definition to me.
Representative Seaton and Representative Grunberg.
Yes, you know, if a person is coming down to lobby the legislature, not as a registered lobbyist, but they're coming down as part of their work, they're probably going to have their schedule with them. They're going to be making appointments. And the cumulative time that they have with appointments with staff lobbying, with any legislator lobbying, and with testifying before a committee would be 16 hours. And most people that come down here to do that have to do like we do and have these little schedules so that they know where they're going to be at what time. So it's not as if this is pulled out of the air. And they probably also have to have that contacts for their employer so that when they go back home, they can tell their employer who they talked with. So, yeah, I mean, you would never, I would presume you would never get 16 hours with a single legislator. And so this isn't an aggregate, so I think the plurals are important to have there.
Representative Grunberg.
Yeah, Representative Lynn. Otherwise, it would mean you'd get 16 hours with yourself, 16 hours with Representative Seaton, 16 hours with me. That's not the intended. It's a 16-hour total, and that's what I'm trying to clarify.
This is not a written amendment. This is just a conceptual amendment by Representative Grunberg. Do you need an amendment to this? Let's call it a
15.2?
No. It's the first conceptual amendment.
Okay.
All right, conceptual amendment one. Thank you, Lori. All right, this is conceptual amendment one. There's a, we've got it. There's been an objection. Is there any further discussion on the conceptual amendment? Lori, if you could call the roll, please.
Excuse me.
I beg your pardon. Representative Dahlstrom.
What are we voting on?
We're voting on the conceptual amendment that would read line, that is, on line 17 and 18, page 19 of section 27. It should be, it would be amended to read more than 16 hours in a 30-day period in direct communication with public officials or legislative employees. So it would strike the word A and make the official and employee plural.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Berkowitz?
Yes.
Representative Grunberg?
Yes.
Representative Holm?
Absent.
Absent, thank you. Representative Seaton?
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Yes.
Chair Wyrock?
Holy cow.
Is there a further amendment to the bill?
Chair Wyrock, I didn't hear your answer.
Yes.
Thank you.
No. There are further amendments to the bill. With that, I'd like to take the bill and give it to legislative legal and have them incorporate all the amendments we have and take action on this, if possible, tomorrow. But. And with that, we will stand. If there's no further business before the committee, we will be adjourned until tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.